Well, Judges 9, we've got this story of Abimelech and rather sticky end that he comes to, but I just want to focus on one point in the story, and that is this. What does Abimelech mean? Abimelech means, my father is king. My father is king. Melech, king, Ab, father. My father is king. And who was his father again? Gideon. Well, in Judges 8, we saw how the people came to Gideon and said, oh, we want you to be king. And Gideon says, no, I can't be your king. God is your king. No, not for me to be king. God is the king. I would not possibly act like a king. I'm not your king. And yet he has a son whom he calls my father is king. Well, Gideon, Gideon's going to be in the kingdom. He's listed there in Hebrews 11. But do you not see here an attempt to sort of get around something that God doesn't want? That is for you to be the king. But he sort of effectively gets around it by calling his son, my father is the king, Abimelech. And it's a bit like Levites not being allowed to own land. And so in the first century, they used to have land in Cyprus. And then Barnabas and others repent of that and sell the land and give it to the apostles. And no more trying to get around God's laws. Unfortunately, we are very good, or we think we're good, at getting round, at get arounds. This is the law, okay, fair enough, but I will get around it. I will still do what I want to do. And in short, this is not total surrender. If we are to go God's way, there has got to be a total surrender to him, and not a sort of jockeying between him and us. There's got to be this total commitment. And where we fail to make that commitment, just admit it. Just admit it that, I know I shouldn't be doing this. I know I didn't ought to this or that, but I have. Please forgive me. Rather than going down the path of justification and, as I think in Gideon's case, sort of effectively doing what he wasn't supposed to do, which was to be the king, but just avoiding a certain form of words. So no, far be it from me that I should be your king, but I'll have a son and I'll call him my father is king. And clearly Abimelech reckoned that he ought to have been the king. And so you can try to get around things by using words. And this sort of wordsmithing has become really very popular in our age. You can go to war with another country, you can abuse people, you can drop bombs on people, but the important thing is that you say it all in the right words. And of course, God sees through all that. God sees through verbiage, hiding behind statements that are ambiguous and all this kind of thing. Just as Gideon was, he was playing with words really about, oh, well, far be it from me that I should be your king. Yahweh is the king. Oh no, far be it from me. And so don't hide behind words. You see attempts at unity between churches, between brethren, that try to go down this way of wordsmithing, of coming up with some clever statement that apparently everybody can agree with because it uses terms which both sides will interpret in different ways, but the words stand there on the document and they can sign it, even though the words mean something different to each of them. And so that sort of thing never achieved anything because it was not from the heart. There is no integrity in this kind of playing with words, as I believe that Gideon was doing. And yet the comfort is that for all that, Gideon will be in the kingdom. We are assured of that, despite this failure. And, it's easy to be overcritical, I suppose, of people, of ourselves even. But in the end, we are going to be saved by grace, and the people in Hebrews 11 were saved by their faith, we are told. And that doesn't mean you're perfect. It absolutely does not mean you're perfect. And it may be that our motives are wrong in places. It may be that we forbid ourselves some things, and yet we wish to live it out vicariously through another person, maybe as Gideon did through his son. So then, these are all things to challenge us on the path as we walk with the Lord towards his kingdom by grace.